Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Matthew chapter 4. We are continuing our series on being mighty warriors, and we've been focusing on the armor of God, the pieces of the armor that we put on. And in this Mighty Warrior series, we've been looking at all the different pieces, and we've talked about how our emotions need to be girded up with truth. Just as a Roman soldier, when he goes on duty, he would hike up his skirt, he would put his belt on so that his skirt, his tunic was out of the way. We need to get our emotions out of the way. And that is a vital thing, because the belt of truth is what the sword of the Spirit hangs on. That's what we're going to be looking at today, is the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6:17, Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If we do not have our emotions in check and we live according to our emotions, there is no place to hang the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, in our life. They're all connected together. We've been talking about our feet need to be ready for the mission. We need to be ready to be on the offensive and take peace to the people that we meet, to take salvation, to take hope, to take healing and health to them. We've talked about the helmet of salvation last week, where we need to protect our mind, because thoughts reap actions. Actions reap habits. Habits reap lifestyles. And lifestyles reap destinies. What we're thinking today determines our destiny tomorrow. We've talked about protecting our heart with the breastplate of faith and love, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be increasing in faith and increasing in our love for God. Those two things will protect our heart. Today, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. We need to be expert swordsmen. How many of you have ever done a sword fight before? Some of you have. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of skill. We've got a brief video clip of a couple of men that became great at sword play. Let's watch the video.
His defense against me, huh?
I thought it fitting, considering the rocky terrain.
Naturally. You must suspect me to attack with Capaferro.
Naturally. But I find that Tybalt cancels out Capaferro. Don't you?
Unless the enemy has a study, he's a gripper. Which I have. You are wonderful.
Thank you. I've worked hard to become so.
I admit it, you are better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I am not left-handed.
You're amazing.
I ought to be after 20 years.
Oh, there's something I ought to tell you.
Tell me. I'm not left-handed either.
It takes a lot of practice to be expert in sword playing. If you notice the two guys, they were talking about this defense and that attack. They had to study, they had to learn, how is the enemy going to attack me? When I respond to the attack, what is the defense he is going to use? And as Christians, we need to be aware, what is the attacks that the enemy is going to use on me? How do I defend myself against his attacks? How do I attack him with a lethal blow so I can defeat him? We just don't become experts with the sword of the Spirit by picking up a verse. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. All right. Lord Jesus, help me through this day. Help me with my homework. Help me with this problem I have at my job. Amen. Friends, that will not make us an expert swordsman. We need to learn how to be swordsmen and swordswomen of the Scriptures. Jesus was a pro. When Jesus was attacked by the enemy, He used the Word of God. Let's pick it up in our text, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." Underline that in your Bibles. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan was tempting Jesus to meet His legitimate needs. He had not eaten for 40 days and for 40 nights. And Satan was saying, "Here, make yourself bread." Jesus could have done that, but friends, Satan will tempt you and I to meet our legitimate needs, to do things that are wrong so that we can have our needs fulfilled. It might be stealing. It might be cheating. It might be doing things that would cause us to be in compromising situations. We need to be people that don't just say, "Well, I've got this need and I'm responsible for meeting it." We need to trust God that God will meet those needs. It goes on to say, and how did Jesus defeat Satan? With the Word of God. Every temptation, every trial you and I go through, we need to use God's Word. We continue, and it says in verse 5, the devil took Him into the holy city and set Him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." And what does Satan say? "For it is written." Satan is quoting Scripture. He says, "He will give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest your foot shall dash you against a stone." Friends, Satan is an expert with the Word too. He knows the Word. He just takes the Word of God out of context and he twists it to get you and I to try to disobey. Jesus parries the attack by saying, "It is written." Again, Jesus quotes Scripture again, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Friends, if Satan knows the Word, how much more do you and I need to know the Word so that we can battle against him? There's a third temptation Jesus goes through, and the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said, "All of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship Me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for," say it with me, "it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, in Him only shall you serve." Then the devil left Him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to Him. Friends, the Word of God is a powerful weapon that defeats Satan. We need to be experts in the Word. Scripture has several word pictures of what the Word of God does for us. You can write these down if you want. You can just write down what they are because this is powerful. The Word of God first is a foundation. It's a foundation to build your life on. It says that there was a wise man that built his house on the rock, and the storms came, the rains came, kind of like Hurricane Irene. But after the hurricane came, the man who built his life on the Word of God, his house stood, he did not fall. God's Word is a foundation, a solid foundation that you can rest your life on. The Word of God, James 1:23, it says it is a mirror. A mirror. How many of you got up this morning, you showered, you shaved, and you looked into a mirror? Those of you who didn't, I can tell. I'm not going to point you out. You know, we look in the mirror to see, is there anything out of place? Did I miss a spot? You know, do I have dirt on my face or something like that? The mirror tells us what is out of place and needs to be made right. And when we read the Word of God, it tells us what's out of place and what needs to be made right in our lives. Going on in 1 Peter 2:2, it says that it is milk to a newborn baby. Babies love milk. It's what keeps them alive. It is their sole source of food. The Word of God is our sole source of food, and we need to cry for the Word as those little babies cry for milk. We need to desire it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:29, it is a fire that purifies and refines us just as you would heat up silver or gold, and it removes all the impurities. The Word of God heats us up and it removes the impurities. That same verse in Jeremiah says that the Word is a hammer that breaks rocks. You can take the hardest things in life you're facing, the biggest trials, the things that seem impossible, and the Word of God smashes them and it busts them in pieces. The Word of God is a hammer. Ephesians 5:26 says the Word of God is water that washes us and it cleanses us. Nothing like taking a shower after you've been hot and sweaty. Yesterday, my son had a football game, and we went to the game early because one of his friends had a game earlier. We sat at Mustang Field from 10:30 to 3 o'clock in 90-some degree weather, and I tell you, we weren't moving, but we just felt, ugh, afterwards. There's nothing like taking a shower when you're dirty that cleanses you, and the Word of God washes you, it refreshes you, it washes away doubt, washes away sin, washes away discouragement, washes away fear. That's what the Word of God does for us. Psalm 1 says that it is a river that nourishes us and supplies us continually so that we are like trees planted by the waters, that we bear fruit consistently, we're never in lack. And Psalm 119:105, it says, it is a lamp that guides us when life is dark. When we don't know where to go, the Word of God gives us wisdom and shows us what to do. Psalm 119:50 says it's a comfort. Romans 10:17 says it's a faith builder. Ezekiel 3:3 says it is honey that makes our life sweet. Mark 4 says it's seed that brings life to my barrenness. And Hebrews 4 says it is sharper than a two-edged physical sword because it pierces more than your physical flesh. It goes right to the core of your inner being. Friends, the Word of God is powerful. Mahatma Gandhi said Christians do not realize that they have a document in their possession that can blow to bits all of civilization. It can transform society. It can bring peace to a war-torn world, but they treat it like some literary document and hardly read it. Friends, Gandhi knew the power of the Word of God. The devil knows the power of the Word of God, and that's why he tries to keep us from it, because he knows if we get into the Word, it will make us mighty warriors from God. It will change us, it'll change our families, it'll change our society, it'll change our world. We need to be mighty warriors. So, how do we become expert swordsmen? How do we do that? Four simple steps. If you're taking notes, look in your bulletins this morning. Step number one at becoming an expert swordsman is handle the sword daily. Handle the sword daily. What this means is that you and I need to read the Word of God on a daily basis. If you want to master something, you have to invest time in it daily. People that want to master an instrument, they practice every day. Football players, they are practicing every day, running through the drills, running through the skills. Runners run, bikers bike, singers sing, musicians play. A daily regimen makes us strong and helps us to master something. For you and I to master God's Word, we need to take time in it daily. We need to make sure that we are self-feeders. When I was growing up, my devotional life basically consisted of coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and then going Wednesday night. And then somewhere in maybe that 2-3 week span, I would get so dry, then I'd really have to spend some time with God. Friends, if you and I are relying upon the Sunday morning service to feed us and to fill our spiritual gas tank to get us through the week, we're going to be weak warriors and not mighty warriors. If we're relying on Christian broadcasting or Christian radio, that radio preacher, that television preacher to speak into our lives every day, we're going to be weak Christians. If we are relying upon our Sunday school class or our youth ministry or our small group to give us the spiritual food to make us strong through the week, we are going to be weak. Because Jesus intended you and I to come to Him and receive our daily bread. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I need to be in the Word of God daily. How much are we reading the Word of God? I heard a story about a young man in Kansas City who was in an explosion, and he was severely burned all over his body. He lost his two hands, and he became blind. He was a new Christian. He loved reading the Word of God, and he was distraught because there was no way. He didn't have hands to learn Braille. He couldn't see. And he heard about a lady over in Britain that learned how to read the Bible by her lips, because she didn't have hands either, and she would use her lips. So he sent away for some books of the Bible in Braille, and when he got the books, he put them to his lips, and he realized that in the explosion, he had lost all feeling in his lips also. Now he's really distraught. One day, he holds one of the books of the Bible to his mouth, and he holds it to his lips, and his tongue touches it, and he realized he could feel with his tongue. So he learned how to read the Bible with his tongue. And when evangelist Robert Sumner wrote about this man in the book, when the book came out, the man had read the Bible through 4 times. Some of us have 2 eyes and 2 hands, and we haven't made it through once. Some of us have made it through many times. Hudson Taylor, in the 40th year of his ministry, he was in the presence of one of his friends. He shut the Bible, and he says, I have now read the Bible for the 40th time in my life. 40 times. Hudson Taylor, back in the 1800s, set up an incredible ministry to the Chinese people. He started the China Inland Mission. God used him in a powerful way. He went several years without seeing a convert. It was tough, but God blessed him. But I believe part of the reason is that Hudson Taylor was a man of the Word. The Word of God gave him the food to keep on going when he didn't see results. It gave him an anointing to break through. It was a hammer that destroyed the works of darkness in China. And friends, we will become mighty warriors as we get into the book. We need to read it. As we read it, there's just a couple of things that we need to expect, a couple of tips. First of all, read the whole Bible through, not just your favorite verses or books. You know, it is easy for us to camp out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's great to camp out in Philippians or maybe Ephesians, but Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, you know, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Well, you're getting those minor prophets, and it's like, oh man, but it says all Scripture is inspired of God. We need to read all the way through because, friends, God can speak to you out of the minor prophets and out of Genesis and even out of the book of Leviticus. In your bulletins, open your bulletins up if you don't have it out. There is a Bible reading guide, and we've given you this, but this Bible reading guide will take you all the way through the Bible in 1 year. Now, you can start in January, or you can start right now and get a little off, but if you do this, you'll read in the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament every day. Friends, this will help you start the road to becoming an expert swordsman if you're not. Begin to read the Bible all the way through. Read the Bible all the way through. Just don't take your favorite passages, because God wants to show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. Another thing to expect as you read through the Bible, expect that God will talk to you. How many of you want God to talk to you? Are you sure? Because you might not like what he says sometimes. Expect, and that's why some people don't want to read the Word. That's because, well, I want just enough to get me by, but I don't want God to mess my life up too much here. Okay? Am I meddling? I hope so, if you need it. If not, you just say amen with me, all right? But we need to expect God to speak to us. Back in January, we did a series called The Power of a Whisper. We did Sunday night small groups and Sunday morning messages on God speaking to us, hearing the voice of God and having the guts to respond. And friends, God will speak to us as we read the Word. He'll say things to us, and he will give us what we need. You need encouragement? He'll encourage you. You need comfort? He will comfort you. You're living in fear? He will give you strength and courage and peace and joy. You need conviction? You need to be hit over the head? Yeah, he'll hit you over the head with that hammer of the Word, trying to break the sin up in your life. He'll get our attention, but expect God to speak to you and to meet the needs that you have. There'll be needs you know of and needs you don't know of. You'll be reading something, and this past week, I was reading in Proverbs, and it talked about lying and honesty and truthfulness, and I took an exam for life insurance about 3 months ago. There was a few snags, a few holdups, and it finally is going through. And I remembered there was a question on there when you had to re-sign the document, say that your health is all the same. And I'm thinking, yes, my health is the same. And as I read that verse, God said, Craig, your health is not the same. Because one of the questions on there is that you have not gained or lost 20 pounds in the past year. At the time I took the physical, I had not gained 20 pounds. I'd gained some, but not that much. But since then to now, I have put on a few more, and that has put me over the 20-pound mark. And I realized, you know what? To just say my health hasn't changed would be a lie. So I called my life insurance guy and told him about it, and we're working through it right now. But the Word of God will meet needs that you don't know you have of. He has the way of doing that. And I'm so glad he does, because he wants to keep us pure and holy before him. Read the Word, handle it daily. That's the first key to becoming an expert swordsman. Say to your neighbor, handle the Word daily. Number two, if you're taking notes, write the revelation that God speaks to you. We said that as you read it, God will speak. So write this revelation. Write down what God has spoken to you. Pick up a journal. One of the things that the Power of the Whisper series taught us in January was to start a journal and record the things that you read that God says to you, the verses that pop out, how you feel about what's going on in your life. As you and I journal, it helps us to take the message that God has in our life deeper. It says in Habakkuk 2:2, the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Friends, as we run our spiritual race, it is good to have a written record of what God has done. You may be going through a difficult time. You can flip back in your journal and see when God met you at your point of need, and it builds your faith. God helped you through a temptation. He helped you through a trial. It strengthens you. Many times as God shows me something, as I have to write it down and put it in words, it crystallizes the thoughts, and it makes the lesson I just learned even more real and more concrete. God takes the Word that we write, and he puts it in our hearts in a greater way. We need to write the revelation so that as we run through life, God can strengthen us and he can use it. You don't know what you write today might be the very thing that you need 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. And you just flip back and God somehow makes it land, boom, on the right page, and your your Bible falls right where it needs to fall, and you read about an experience you went through 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 months ago, and it strengthens and encourages you. Write the revelation every day. The third thing that we need to do to become expert swordsmen is, number three, develop declarations for your life. Develop declarations for your life. This involves speaking it. Speaking the word of God to your specific circumstances, Job 22, 28. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. What attacks are you susceptible to? Some of us, we're susceptible to depression. Some of us are susceptible to maybe lying, or to lust, to blowing our temper, to giving in to some indulgence of the flesh, to maybe having a spirit of pride. What are the struggles that you deal with specifically? And what God wants us to do is to search the Scriptures and find declarations in Scripture that would combat that problem and that struggle. I want you to write this down, BibleGateway.com. BibleGateway.com. It is a website that you can do a word search and you can find any verse in the Bible. It has the whole Bible there. You can read the Bible online and it gives you multiple translations. King James, New King James, New International Version, The Message, The Living Bible. They have about 10, 12 different versions that you can read the Bible out of. But let's say you're struggling with fear, okay? Look up the word fear on BibleGateway.com or look it up in a Strong's Concordance. If you don't have a computer, you can get a Strong's Concordance for about $30. And you can utilize that. But look up fear, and then look up all the verses that deal with fear. What are some other words you could look up if you're dealing with fear? Afraid. Okay. You could look up words that talk about being afraid. Now, what is the opposite of fear? I can't hear you. Help me preach this morning. Courage. Faith. What are some other words that are opposite of fear? Trust, boldness, peace, all these are different words. Look those words up, and what you do as you battle against fear, you find these verses that are related, you write them down, and you build up an arsenal so that when Satan brings fear to you, you now have an arsenal that you can go to and you can pull from, and you can speak the word of God over your circumstance and say, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am at your side." Isaiah 41. And we need to build up arsenals. If you battle with pride, we're just going to give you a starter here. If you're dealing with one of these, put Proverbs 16, 18. It's about pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. If you deal with anger, it's Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. If you have fear, Isaiah 41:10. We just talked about that one. If it's pleasure seeking, you indulge in pleasure, and you know there's different aspects of pleasure that are ungodly, that are not right. Ecclesiastes 2:1, Solomon, the guy who had everything you could want, said, "I explored all avenues of pleasure, and it was nothing." If you battle with insecurity or low self-esteem, Deuteronomy 28:13, you are the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you struggle with greed, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 10, godliness is contentment with great gain, for he brought nothing into this world. We can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And then it talks about other things in there, but we need to be people that are in the Word. If you struggle with worry, Philippians 4, verses 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Can you rejoice today? That was really rejoicing. Can you rejoice today? That's a little better. And rejoice in God. Recall all the things God has done for you. Start to bring those back. and you take these things and you declare them in your life. Lord, I will yield this situation to you. I rejoice in you and that I'm saved. I will be anxious for nothing. I will instead pray about everything and give you thanks. And your peace, which surpasses my understanding, it will guard my heart and my mind. You begin to speak that word and make it personal and apply it to your life. As we do that, we become mighty warriors. Depression, Psalm 16:11. Lust, Job 31:1. Lying, Proverbs 19:5. Bitterness, Matthew 5:44. Take the word of God. A declaration is simply taking what Scripture says and applying it to the specific circumstances in your life. There's two kinds of declarations you need to build into your life. The first one is tearing down declarations. Okay? Declarations that tear things down. They tear down the lies of the enemy. They tear down sin. They tear down strongholds that we've allowed the enemy to put up. And then we need building up declarations. Declarations that build us up into the person God wants us to be. That build up righteousness and holiness. That build up God's ways and God's thoughts in our lives. Many scriptures have a tearing down and a building up aspect to them. Let's say you're dealing with fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the tearing down. If you're dealing with fear, you say, the Bible says, God didn't give this to me. This is from the devil. I refuse to accept it because it's not God's will for my life. That's the tearing down. And then we need to build it up. It says, but he gives us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. You say, I have power over this attack of fear from the enemy. I have love. You see, a lot of times, if we're fearful, we feel that God isn't taking care of us. He really doesn't love us. He's maybe left us and abandoned us. But no, God loves me. I am his child. He's in control of my situation. He hasn't walked away from me. God is taking care of me. I don't have to be afraid because he loves me. And he's given me self-control. When those thoughts of fear come, I can defeat them. I can put them down because I have the fruit of the spirit of self-control in my life. You see how that works? You see how you take the word and you begin to speak it into your life. You personalize it. You make it yours to tear down and to build up. If you're battling with lust, sometimes whole chapters in the Bible will deal with this. Proverbs chapter 5 is very interesting. It tears down because it talks about how horrible adultery is. The lips of the adulterous woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall. Sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Some translations say straight to hell. And you, when you're tempted to lust, you say, it produces horrible things. It destroys me. It takes me to hell. And then you go to Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. It's the building up part. If you're married, this is for you guys, all you husbands out there. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. All the husbands said. That's a good place for an amen, guys. Hey, that's in the Bible. Are we embarrassed by that? You see, what we've done in the church is we don't talk about certain things when God talks about them, and that's why our society is in the mess we're in, because we're not applying the Word of God to our lives. We need to rejoice in the wife of our youth. Oh, guys, you missed it, man. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Always be intoxicated by her love. I will not get intoxicated or excited about any other woman that I see on the street, that I see on TV, that is, comes up on the internet. I am intoxicated with her love. We tear down the thoughts that Satan would say, just do it. It feels great. We tear down the strongholds and we build up God's ways in our life. Make faith declarations. Build them up for whatever struggles your life encounters. Get into the Word and be a mighty warrior. We become expert swordsmen as we handle it daily. We read it. As we write the revelation, we journal it. As we make faith declarations and we speak it to our lives. Number four, we become expert swordsmen as you and I play God's movie in our minds. Play God's movie in our minds. This is referring to scripture memorization, meditation, and prayer, where we memorize those faith declarations God has given us. We think on them throughout the day, and we're continually praying them throughout the day. We are soaking and saturating our life in the Word of God. It says in Psalm 1, 2-3, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates 5 minutes in the morning." No. 7 times a day. No. "He who meditates day and night, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he will prosper." Friends, as we read the Word, as we write the Word, as we speak the Word, as we memorize, meditate, and pray it, we become expert swordsmen. I'd like our worship team to come as we close this morning. Once upon a time, there were two men, a man whose name is Dr. Kimbarbari, who was the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, tried to give a New Testament to a very belligerent man. And the man just insisted that he would use the pages and roll them up to make cigarettes out of them. The doctor says, "Hey, that's fine, as long as you promise to read each page before you make a cigarette out of it." And the guy agreed. He took the Bible. 15 years go by, and they finally meet each other at a Methodist convention in Zimbabwe. And it turns out that the smoking pagan was now a full-time evangelist. He was up in front of the crowd, and he told the people, "I smoked my way through Matthew. I smoked my way through Mark. I smoked my way through Luke. But when I came to John 3:16, I stopped smoking and my life was changed." It happened all because he simply read the Word of God. Friends, the Word of God is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can defeat the enemy in your life. It can make you a mighty warrior. It can transform your life. It can transform your kids as you pour it into them. It can transform this society. It can transform Casper. It can transform our world. But it all starts if you and I become expert swordsmen. Not just one or two of us, but the whole body of Christ. And as we learn how to use this sword, and we grow in it, and we read it, and we begin to think on it, and we pray it, and we memorize it, we speak it, and we write it, it will change the world.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.